equipped, he's trained, right? He has left the facility, and he is waiting for opportunity. You're like, Andrew, how did you land that plane? Okay? The first leaf falls. It's still green, actually. Do you notice that? And he goes after it with the blower. And you're looking at me going, are you promoting something today? Are we doing Home Depot or what's going on? The answer is no, okay? This little commercial, though, says a lot in 46 seconds. It really does. I'm looking at a congregation of amazing people. A lot of you come weekly and consistently, and you're growing in your faith. You're being equipped. You're being trained. And then you're being told, according to the gospel, that it doesn't happen in this building, right? The church is literally you. It's not the framework that we see. And it's time to look for opportunity, whatever it looks like. Let's close in prayer. No, I'm just kidding. All right. There's much in between. There's always an attack going on. And I love that. A little bit later on, we're going to take it up a notch because it's not just a video here that's been scripted. There's something I'm going to show you involving El Capitan in Yosemite and something else that took some equipping that just happened not too long ago in the news. Are you glad you're here this morning?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad to see you. We have a clean town. We have a clean sky out there. It doesn't get more radiant than this. As far as I know, we may be smog-free over there in L.A. County. It's a Sunday, I'm hoping. But you have a harbor that's clean. Did you see the dumpster after dumpster of stuff that was pulled out yesterday? I learned this morning from our prayer group that divers were actually bumping into each other underwater yesterday. It was so murky in certain spots as people were pulling stuff up. And, of course, it was kickstarting all the dust and everything and all the soot and silt that's under there. Praise God, man. And I think we have a new beach. It's on the far right side over here. It's all that stuff that came down off the hills has been drained. Avalon is beautiful. Our harbor is beautiful. What a place to do church. What a place to have a ministry. Look at the title of your notes today, and I'm going to take you a little further than that. Obviously, it's a super long title. I kind of put my whole sermon in a title. The hardest part for me during the week is finding a title for these things. I have so much that's involved, and it's hard to put it in a little phrase. But quite honestly, was Jesus' life confined to a church building or a corner? And you know what I'm talking about here. It's an easy answer, folks. Okay? It was everywhere, but inside a building. It was everywhere. So looking at our calling, looking at purpose this morning, literally, God can build it, we can help, kind of a spin-off of you can build it, we can help, right? Saving you money, all that stuff. You're like, Andrew, this is weird. Spring is approaching, and we're looking at spring cleaning. Some of you had to do that with all the mud that's been flowing recently. But inside our hearts, it's to kick us out of the pews, right? I like these pews. They're not my favorite, but they are certainly part of this building. They've been here a long, long time. And sometimes it's easy to get comfortable in that or sit behind those in some sort of a protective state. This morning, I'm taking you further. I first heard this phrase that God wants to build a movement, not a monument. I actually heard it at a spoken word and a poetry event. It was back home in Clearwater where I'm at, where we lived at the foot of a beautiful pier. They used to do some ministry stuff, and young adults would get up and do some spoken word in this big pavilion at the foot of a pier where we lived. And this guy got up there and in no uncertain terms, just started saying some powerful stuff. I didn't know if he was prophesying. I didn't know what was going on. I just heard, God wants to build a movement, not a monument. And I've heard it a lot since then. How many have heard that phrase before? Put up your hands. Yeah. It's big. Cool. Nice picture there. When I heard this instantly, it resonated with me. Recently, I was reflecting on a passage of scriptures. They're not in your notes, but if you want to write this down, this reference is literally from Mark 9, 2 through 8. Mark 9, 2 through 8. Scripture says this, and this gave me my answer to some things I was looking at. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led him up to a high mountain where they were all alone. Right? Anyone know what this passage is called? The what? Transfiguration. Yeah. They were all there alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes, talking about Jesus, were dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. There appeared before them Elijah, Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And so these guys were hanging out, watching this happen. Peter says to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And then all of a sudden, things changed very quickly after that was said. So a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. Whose voice do you think it was? God. He said, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. Listen to my Son. Listen to Jesus." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone except who? Jesus. I believe that one of the problems we have with Christianity is we want to turn everything Christ-related into a program or a curriculum or a procedure, a method, some kind of specialty, or as Peter proposed, even a monument. After a while, that gets boring. After a while, somebody wants another method, another tips and techniques. And if we look at his life, though, Christ constantly ran away from anything that would exalt, classify, or label him as anything but the Son of God. He understood his validation. He understood his affirmation. If he wasn't there about it, and we know he was, God made it very clear. "This is my Son. This is the man. Listen to him." His ministry wasn't confined to a building or a corner. It was a ministry purpose. This morning we're looking at purpose. He roamed the cities. He roamed the countryside. He even took to the oceans to fulfill his purpose, which was to bring salvation to the lost, to heal the sick, and restore the hearts of the people. Amen? Yeah, the people who just said that have been restored. You know what that means. In fact, Jesus made it apparent that his time here was only temporary. He was not going to be here long. Some of the most fascinating history of Jesus, I would love to know, was between that 12 and 13 all the way to age 30. Wouldn't that be wild, right? To hear Jesus, "Turn that down, Jesus," you know, or whatever it is in his room. What was Jesus like as a teenager? What was he like as a young adult? Can you imagine our young adults in this room hanging out with Jesus? We get to ask him one day, but it's a mystery. But as he got his ministry started, and as these disciples hung out, and people started getting closer and gravitating closer to him, and I mean, literally, it was just a focus group, he then sent them out, and he sent them in twos. They stayed in homes that were made available to them, and they ate the food that was in front of them. By the Spirit of God, they healed the sick. They cast out demons and preached the Word of God with power and conviction. Why? Because they hung out with the Word of God. They hung out and had fellowship with the Son of God. And a few of them actually heard those words physically, audibly said, "This is my Son. Listen to him." Now, if I heard that straight from a cloud, I would probably be seriously focused in my ministry, right? And they were. As the Spirit of God moved upon them, they moved. When they encountered sick people on the streets, they laid hands on them. They met folks possessed by evil spirits. They weren't afraid. Nor should you be. Methods, programs, organizations, monuments, a substitute for the lack of spiritual movement in the body of Christ. There are certain programs that will definitely kickstart things. They just put an M80 under somebody's butt and get them moving, okay? They train up workers. They do a good job, but they specifically are no substitute, listen to me, for walking with God intimately. We have this 101 class that's starting up again late March. We just did one about a month ago. In a couple weeks, we're going to have our new members coming forward here. These are people not being pushed into something, okay? They're sitting right where you're sitting, And the Spirit of God is working in their heart to say, I'm not looking to join just a congregation. I'm looking to help with this movement. God has been moving my life, and I don't want to sit around. He's doing something. Somehow we're given the movement for the monuments and allowed programs and methods to replace a powerful move of God. I'm guilty of it. Programs become repetition, procedures, putting God in a box. Programs invite people to the revival, but a movement stirs revival in our hearts. Are you following me? Just waiting to be commissioned through faith. Methods tell us how to share our faith. They give us the method, what it looks like. Movement tells us to open our mouth and specifically let the Holy Spirit speak through us. Every single week, putting a sermon together is not my favorite thing to do. It is hard. So guess what? It becomes easy when I get out of the way and ask God, what do you want to say? I don't have to look at the newspaper or what's going on online to know what's happening socially and try to decide, do we talk about that? Like sportscasters do. 1 week prior to a big event, like the World Series or the Super Bowl, these guys fly into town a few days out, and what are they looking at? Looking at papers, looking at analysis and statistics and things on the players and having a take so they can do really well in their presentation on Sunday when the big game's playing on it. I don't have to do that. I simply need to clear my mind, ask for forgiveness of the things that are in the way, ask for God to remove pride, be patient, and wait on Him. Wait on the Lord to speak. The Spirit of the Lord came upon one of God's servants at that moment. Okay? They did great works for the Lord. Monuments were being built, so to speak. Movement, though, allows God's Spirit to get inside this building and to use us as He sees fit in His purpose. Quite honestly, there are people sitting in this room that have a ministry that no one else has in this room. No one else has. I can't do it. Someone else can't do it. You are gifted in it. You are good at it. And specifically, it's your calling. It's something that you're uniquely passionate about. And guess what? God's passionate about that too, because He designed you for that purpose. And no one can talk you out of it but the enemy. And there you sit. And God comes along and He says, I've given you this gift, man. What are you doing? What's going on? When Peter saw the Lord with Moses and Elijah on the mountain, his first thought was, let's just build something here. You know, let's remember this moment. How about a tabernacle? How about a monument for these great spiritual leaders? God stepped right in that moment. But God, knowing Peter's motivation, steps in, immediately removes Moses and Elijah. And He's like, whoa, child. This is my son. Right here. Listen to him. You ever thought of it that way? That's how it's read. I mean, does Peter look like a dork or what? In this situation, it's like open mouth, insert foot. God says, whoa, listen, I had something going on here. I want you to look at my son. Forget the tabernacles. Forget the monuments. This is what I've got going on. This is my son. He was saying in essence, you don't need a memorial. I just want you to listen to my son. God sent the Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. When we have this inner line to God called the Holy Spirit, we're listening to Him. For those of you who are visiting today and you're seeking God, one of the coolest things, if you find God, if you accept God and what He has, you've got to go through His Son, the Scripture says. And the gift that they give you is the third part of God. In the Trinity, there is God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the beautiful part about listening to the Spirit is you have a direct line to God. He is there to intercede for you. He's there to comfort you. He's there to encourage you. Anybody need that this week? Several. Okay? He's also there to convict. He's there. He's the total package. Your best friend. He sets this up for success. The problem with monuments is that we start to fixate on them. We just stare at them. And we start glorifying this mega thing going on. It's even tempting to take this old building, because it is an old building. Literally, you can hear tour bus after tour bus and Jeep and whatever is driving by here saying, it's one of our oldest houses in Avalon, one of our oldest buildings in Avalon. There, 1889, you know. I used to do that stuff. And people fixate on that. They get caught up. You know, I want them to go by and go, that's one of our oldest buildings in Avalon. You should see Jesus moving in that building. What tour is going to say that? Probably going to lose your tip right there. You can. Because God's church is sitting here right in front of you. You're beautiful. God sets you up for success. The enemy comes in to steal and twist and spin. Try to make a buck. One of the largest monuments Christians have built today is this church, isn't it? Serving the church, listen to me carefully, takes precedent over listening and hearing. You're hearing that from this pulpit. I'm all about serving, not before walking with God. You can just take off on serving like crazy. And I know I've heard it before, you have too. You're never more like Jesus than when you serve. How about being more like Jesus? What does Jesus want us to do? What does he have for us to do? Instead of getting confused so much because we found ourselves so far away from serving so much, we're exhausted, we're burnt out, feel like quitting, because we weren't serving Jesus. We were just serving for serving. Movement can take many forms, but all movements must begin with the Spirit of God who resides inside of us. Each week, people are going to buildings all over the place. My son has a church. My brother, Dave, pastor of a church in Florida and Tennessee. My great uncle. I have a great grandfather. Pastoring runs deep in my family, all of which have been wonderful people. Set a good example. The one thing I've learned for them is that if they don't get out of that building, nobody coming to church. No way. No way, Jose. You know, you've seen that Kevin Costner baseball film, maybe. It's called Field of Dreams or something like that. If you build it, they will come, right? That's not how it works here, right? I mean, we pray for people to come. Don't get me wrong, but pastors and everyone else that serve here have to serve in the community. That's the way it works. We are God's temple. And how would this affect Avalon? Even the world. If each one of us here fulfilled God-inspired vision that came simply from our own heart. A few days ago when I was sitting down, I'm sitting here and I'm going, I don't know how detailed I want to be with this, God. He said, I don't want them in their notes yet. I want this right in the very beginning. I want my spirit to be felt. I want the truth to be told. Avalon will turn upside down when your heart turns upside down. You cannot sit around with Jesus in your heart and just do church by attendance. You can't do it. If he's flipping you out on the inside, it's going to show on the outside. Your neighbors are coming. Your family's going to either be divided or they're going to fall in line and say, I want what you got. I don't know what it is, but I want it. And you're going to see neighbors talking way longer in the parking lot at Vaughn's as if they don't already. You'll see them up at Machado Field. They're not even watching the game. They just can't wait to talk to someone. And spend time with someone, Front Street, wherever it is. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16, if you want to write that. Great verse. There's someone living in you. God may visit these brick and mortar temples and these wood frame buildings. Certainly can visit them, but he doesn't live in them. Instead, the Bible tells us he dwells in the hearts of his children. We are his temple. God's Spirit to be fruitful in us. You've got to let him use us. Never easy. A lot of work. But there's fruit. And it's fun. Especially when you share that with someone else. You've got to decrease so that God's Spirit can what? Increase. Yeah. It's all found in Scripture. Let's discover today where he might move you. Okay? Look in your notes today. You should have a copy. If not, I definitely can get you one. Michael can hook us up in the back, all right? If you need an outline, grab it. These are some great scriptures. It's not my word. It's God's word this morning. First thing I put on there, it's time to build relationships. Okay? It's time to build relationships. The other night, I had our dream team over there. I call them the dream team. They're our volunteers. that literally helped with this service, and they filled my living room, and they brought a ton of food. And it's been a while, long overdue, because God's been using them, and some of them are young parents, and it's just hard getting everybody together. But we took a shot at it. With a very short window of time, we jumped in on it, and it ended up being a really special night. One of the cool things that was said by them was the relationships that are forming in our church. The relationships that are forming in our church. They're off the chain. It's great. And it's happening downstairs, upstairs. Matt's got the teen center going. Relationships are being built. They're coming from Vacation Bible School. Volunteers come together to help out with that program. And what happens? They become like this little family for a week. And then when it's over, it's like this lost puppy kind of feeling. I miss my family. I miss these volunteers. I miss these helpers. Why? Because the body of Christ is living. It's breathing. It's relational. Type of building is a commitment to developing relationships with God. And then I put in there others. So write that in. Others. And then, of course, my church family. When I think of summarizing the Bible, man, it's somebody that allows Jesus to invade their life and they're loving towards others. Let's be honest. It's a lot easier to love certain people than others, right? I mean, some of you guys know exactly where I'm going with this. I mean, it's really easy to love those that are like us or like stuff we like. But what about loving others, all others? I mean, even those that are not like you. You just look around, especially in the workplace, you can find some very unloving people. Could be neighbors, could be someone in your campus, in your classroom. You see them coming, you go to the other side of the lockers, whatever it is. Difficult. And you know it's difficult in life, loving people unlovely. But you know what? They don't have friends. They don't. And I'm encouraging you to literally look outside of your friend zone, because the people that you probably don't like or that are unlovely don't have friends. Most of the time, 9 out of 10 times, they're already alone when you see them. So what do you think when they're by themselves? They're literally alone, like they feel alone. That's a horrifying feeling, okay? Most of my soccer team now is moved on to other things, and life's moving forward. A few of them actually babysit and trying to get them back together, do a little reunion things, checking up on them. I care for these players and my coaches. They're friends. I'll check them. They're like, oh, I'm babysitting. I can't do this. And, you know, they'll guarantee you, anyone here that babysits will guarantee you, there are certain kids you just cannot wait to babysit. Okay? It's like they don't even need to pay you. You can pay them. Oh, I love your kid. There's others that have these little adults running around in the house. They're in total control, right? Those kind of kids. And you know what babysitting those kids are like. And then there's the last group, which are like these little satanic babies running around. It's like something dangerous is going on here. Get me out of here. I need way more money to do this. I'm not doing this, okay? But precious little kids, you've seen the photos. How hard is it to not love that little child laying there, right? And then some of you guys have seen some of these little kids running around. It's nuts. You couldn't get paid enough. I wonder when the last time you went out of your way to show love and kindness to someone. Concern about someone else, somebody you didn't know. Look at the verse that's with this in Ephesians 2. It's not my word. Blow me off if you want, but here it is in Scripture. You are members of God's very own family. Come on, Avalon. You belong in God's household, and so do they, with every other Christian. You're members of God's very own family. There's a household here. Not all siblings get along. I realize that. But how about inviting them to the table? I mean, if you want to know the theme of the Bible, essence is this. Okay? Get it? Is love. Jesus put it together. So people will know you are my followers by the Christian clothing that you wear. 4 of you got that. Okay, great. No! By your what? Your love. You're my followers. Not by the Christian sticker you have on your golf cart. Right? Covered in mud right now anyway. No. It's by your walk. It's how you love them. It's how you talk to them. It's do you actually take the time to go out of your way. For you to build relationships means for you to be somebody who is loving towards others, not just those who are easy to love. Look at this verse, these couple of verses in Romans 12. We are all part of Christ's body. It takes every one of us to make it complete. We each have different work to do, okay? So we belong to each other and need all the others. That's cool, man. I mean, that's almost a great verse for any team, any sport. It's a wonderful way of looking at this, going, you've got to have that person next to you. And some of you have heard this over and over again. Take the malaise off for a minute by all the people that you literally don't want to talk to, and just look at this at face value and say, God, may your spirit come alive in me in this verse. I need this transfer of what I've been thinking, of what you're trying to tell me right here. And this church is going to change based on right here, this verse. Each of you have work to do. And each of you are important in the kingdom. To respect somebody else's way of doing it. All of us belong to each other, need each other. Romans 13 says, pay all your debts except the debt of love for others. You can never finish paying that. Anyone have something they're paying on right now? Raise your hand. Okay? Anyone still paying off a car, perhaps? Okay? Teenagers? Any teenagers have a car payment by any chance? Golf carts? Anyone paying off a golf cart? Okay? All right? Teens paying off your Razor or your Xbox or whatever it is? Okay? Whatever it looks like. Let me tell you something. That sometimes those high-end deals will spin you off and they'll kill you on your budget. By the way, little plug, Dave Ramsey class tonight, 6:30 at the Herbst class house. Okay? Here's the deal. You can never pay off the debt of building strong, significant relationships. That's the one thing this verse says. You can pay on all the other stuff, and eventually you will own it. But you can never pay off this one for friendships and relationships. Never let that one run dry. Never finish paying them. And I use the word significant because there's a difference between investing in relationships. Investing in significant relationships. I had like a brunch with a great bud sitting here. I won't mention Matt's name. But we got together. It's just been hard for both of us with the schedules going on. And we just were like, we're doing this, man. We're coming together. It was so fun. It was like 45 minutes. Encouraged my heart because I'm with another minister of the gospel. And together we were just at the brew house sharing weird stuff. And then we got into good stuff, what God wants to do. Let me tell you something. That relationship is moving into significant, if it hasn't already. I need that. I want to surround myself with it. We joke a lot. We both have a very spiritual gift of sarcasm, okay? It's there, and it's very real, and a lot of it keeps us moving forward. It's the sarcasm is strong with this one sitting right here, just letting you know. I love it, though. It keeps me laughing. But when things need to be, you know, brought off the fence and put one way or another, God sinks his roots into this man's life, and he speaks into mine. And I'm thankful for that. And this has been one of those things that stirs among a lot of folks here. If you're looking for something significant in a person, you got to invest. You just got to invest. You got to make the time. You want to build it, and they will come. Doesn't work with this significant thing. If I meet them, hopefully they will come. If we go to Brew House, hopefully he will show. If I get out on Front Street, I walk out on the jetty, I go out on the Green Pier. If I watch a sunset, hopefully they will join me. Not if I sit on my rear and just think that, you know, they owe me. And there's this entitlement going on. You want an investment for something valuable, you've got to invest. For something significant. A young man who actually attended one of my congregations in Florida before he was put into jail for some gnarly little stuff. He was in there for 3 years. And he sat in this jail, and it was down the street. And literally, he had a ton of friends. A ton of friends. Not one of them wrote him a letter. Not one of them visited. Not one of them called. This is his words, not mine. I simply sent him 2 emails, and then I took a Bible down there, which as a pastor, that particular jail went through every page to make sure something didn't fall out. And I got to go in there, and I sat down with him. He was discharged, and he turned around, and he said, nobody took my calls. Nobody visited. I realized that I went to jail. I knew a lot of people, and I partied with these people. But when I came out, I didn't have anybody. I didn't have anybody. Pastor, thanks for visiting me and other stuff. But he was just saying, I didn't have any of those people. They just weren't around. There's a difference between a crowd. There's a difference between a real friend. And it's time to build a real relationship. Somebody who goes, you know, I understand that God's created me to be in this relationship. First a relationship with him, then a relationship with you. I'm going to be your roommate. Crowds don't impress me. They don't. You know what would impress me is if we took the challenge this morning to finish this year, which is just getting going, with one or two. You won't find them by sitting on your butt. You got to get to a small group. Got to be intentional. You've got to invest. Amen? Yeah. How many of us have seen those that compromise who they are, and they compromise the things that they believe, and they do the things that they would never do, typically, to gain a little bit of temporary acceptance from a friend? A friend that they're never going to see again. A party animal, perhaps, on a Friday night or a Saturday night. And so it robs them of coming to church on Sunday. They literally could call them friends, especially some of our high school seniors. The temptation right now with senioritis kicking in, it's huge, man. Young people, young adults, just making it out when there is a Sabbath set before you. Sabbath is just crash and burn, man. I got a hangover. It's hard. Party friends that might say, all right, what are you doing? I got a picture here. Hey, I've got a mullet. Do you want one too? Nice. Those kind of friends. There's my buddy right there. Woo! Yeah, I need a mullet. I need a mullet really bad. I didn't have one that bad in high school, but I did have a mullet. But a lot of these friends that people have, they just make up the crowd. That's all they are. Look at number 2 in your outline. It's time to build spiritual maturity. Don't get caught up on this. It sounds kind of religious. I mean what I say here. It's to take your faith serious. Write that in and grow as a Christian. Take your faith serious. Ephesians 13. We must become like a mature person, growing until we become like Christ. Who? Like who? Thanks. Then we'll no longer be babies. Like who? Like babies. Christ versus babies. Stick with Christ, right? We will not be tossed about like a ship that the waves carry one way then another. I jumped on an OC1 outrigger yesterday, which is a miniature outrigger for one person. I had 45 minutes. It took me 35. And I almost flipped a dozen times. Literally going around the harbor. It was freezing yesterday. And the club is starting to come together, the outrigger team. And I just wanted to stretch my back, get rid of some of my winter belly fat. And I'm out there, and I'm trying to go around the harbor, and it's just like this hippopotamus in this little canoe. I was just dying. I couldn't get forward. And all of a sudden, now the wind's blowing, and the thing's trying to tip on me. I was like, just get me back on the beach. Water's in the 50s. Air's in the low upper 50s, low 60s. I'm like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be tossed around. Matt, let's go to the brew house. Keep me out of this water. Now, when the season hits and the water's warm and the air's warm and 6 guys are in that canoe and everybody's pumping at the same time, you hear them breathing at the same time and jolting forward at the same time, and that boat is moving even without paddling at the same time, that is an amazing feeling. I can't even put it into words. Everything's clicking at the same moment, especially when you cross the finish line. But it takes these days in the winter to make it happen. You got to get there. You got to invest in something. I did not want to go out yesterday, but I invested. And 1 Timothy 4:7 says, take the time. Take the time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit and continue to grow. My friends, listen to this verse very carefully. This is going to take discipline. Okay? I'm not going to level to you. You will not get your fitness plan spiritually without disciplining your life. This verse says it all right here. Timothy is coming on strong, and he says this: take the time, take the trouble. You may spill, you may get cold, the winds are blowing, but I've got something planned for you later on. It's going to be big. It's called the crossing, and it's September 8th. And Hobbs, when you cross there and you go across that channel, you're going to be fit. You're going to be ready. You won't be scared. You're not going to cramp up, which, you know, 2-3 hours in, you're cramping up. Because back in February, you did something. I'm going to show you something here that I'm not making up. There's a video clip I'm going to show you. the gentleman just recently that defied all odds. There is a monument in this thing. In fact, it's the I Ching of climbing monuments. This guy decided to climb this monument successfully, and a new movement has started, and he started it, and he freelanced this Capitan rock, no ropes, nothing. If you can keep one eye open, you might want to watch this, all right? Roll the film.
Does it feel different to be up there without a rope?
It's obviously like much higher consequence.
People who know a little bit about climbing are like, oh, he's totally safe. And then people who really know exactly what he's doing are freaked out.
I've thought about El Cap like for years, and every year I'm like, that's really scary. I'll never be content unless I at least put in the effort. It's the most impressive wall on Earth.
It's 3,200 feet of sheer granite. It's the center of the rock climbing universe.
I was going to get interview questions about it all the time. Oh, would you like to do that? You're like, yes, for sure.
So your girlfriend now, I heard.
It was awesome. It pretty much makes life better in every way.
It's really hard for me to grasp why he wants this. If he doesn't do this stuff, he'd regret it.
Everybody who has made soloing a big part of their life is dead now.
I haven't been injured in like 7 years. I suddenly start getting injured all the time.
What if something happens? What if I don't see him again?
I could just walk away, but it's like, I don't want to.
I've always been conflicted about shooting and killing about free soloing just because it's so dangerous. It's hard to not imagine your friend falling through the flame to his death.
I think when he's free soloing is when he feels the most alive, the most everything. How can you even think about taking your life as a gift?
Stay smart.
Burn your kind of fight.
If you're pushing the edge,
apologize for the sound on that. I will let you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that that is Christianity. And you're sitting here going, you kidding me? I just want my coffee and a donut and my small group. You climb that thing. You do Christianity without ropes. You're just sitting at base camp. You're just sitting at base camp. You're looking at that incredible monument. Church. That's not the church. I mean, you're not going to like this, but church is that guy. And he is a movement. And he is not going to be restricted by what methods and technology and other things are saying. They certainly equipped him. Programs have equipped him. I saw ropes on him when he was training, didn't you? Did you see that? Yeah, and he fell on a rope and he was safe. But he never got to freelancing without ropes unless he practiced those things and then one day took off the ropes. I don't know if I could see this movie or not. My stomach's already feeling it right now. And you saw the cameraman just kind of going like this. What if people are doing that going, oh my gosh, what did Hobbs say this morning? Oh no. My wife's doing that every Sunday. Can you imagine? It's like, what is this Christian doing now? Let me tell you something. You want to change the face of Christianity? Be more like Jesus. Because that's all he did. That's all he did. He walked this planet for 3 years documented that we have on notice and just had religious leaders going, oh my gosh, what is he saying? He's hanging out with this prostitute. Are you serious? You're asking us to not throw these rocks right now. He's talking to this woman at a well. this guy from Nazareth. From Nazareth. No ropes. And boy, did he make the magazine covers. And to this day, the most talked about, influential, most popular book you'll ever find in the history of mankind, the Bible, is written about that guy. Not the coffee, not the donut guy that can't get out of a small group. My friends, you're tracking with me this morning, I pray. That if a movement's going to happen, you've got to climb all over this monument. You've got to set something afoot and train and not be afraid to fail. Not be afraid of opposition. I'm not. It does get a little scary, but I've been reminded over and over again that God is with me. He's with you. Maybe you're bored. Maybe you've tried everything the world has offered and nothing's working. You're just bored. I'll say these four words to you, five words. God wants to heal you. Powerful. He wants to heal you. Something in there needs healing. That insecurity, something's got to go, all right? And you don't need you can pay a lot of money for this. Thousands of dollars of counseling is in the Word of God, and it can heal you. And a Christian brother or sister that's a good listener to both you and to God, hearing on your behalf, where you get stuck in something, they're hearing something from God, that can heal you. Maybe you're isolated. You withdraw yourself. You put up walls around you. Or even this picture right here. Maybe you've been living on this island. You just need to go over town for a little bit. You ever heard of island fever, right? God wants to teach you how to live. You may need to stare at an El Capitan and just go, bring it on, sucker. It's going to take me a few years to think that way if I stare at a rock that big. But this guy has done other rocks. Listen to me carefully. You may need to step out of Avalon a little bit. Catch your breath. How about build a house over 48 hours in Mexico? How about a DTS somewhere? How about you just take some time to go visit a relative and take that risk, because that relative and you haven't spoken in a long, long time. You got to get out of here. You need to go take care of business. And watch what confidence comes of that, from that risky first step. The most difficult step on the zip line here in Catalina, the most difficult step for those scared of heights is what step? What zip? The first step, zip one, and that's the practice one. But you step on that when you see, oh, this equipment has me. Oh, these guys aren't so bad. They tell me what to do. Boom, 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 all the way down. The seeker that's in the room, just checking this out. It starts with you taking a risk, accepting the love of God. I'll say that again. Accepting the love of God. If you're seeking God, it starts with accepting His love. It's a risk. And you may have to have some ropes for a little while. But once you see God's love is real, the ropes come off, baby. The ropes come off. I'm loved. I don't got to walk around with my head between my knees. I don't got to worry that people don't like me or I don't measure up. The love of God is unbelievable. It changes your life. And it's a snapshot of Jesus. That's it. God's love shown in perfection, Jesus. Constantly, I love you. I love you. I care about your needs. I want a relationship with you. That's the action step for the seeker. Maturity in Christ, when it's kicking in, how about it's time to build ministers? I love this. Why? Because the way God goes about this is unique for each person. This type of building is a commitment to discovering and using my God-given gifts to serve others. I literally cannot tell you what that's like for you. I know mine. And I'm age 50, which is freaking me out right now. But it didn't take me 50 years to figure that out. I know people age 14 that are ready to turn this world upside down. They have discovered God's gifts. Because in fifth grade and fourth grade, a teacher came up to them in Bible school, vacation Bible school. Someone came up to them and goes, get up there. You can read that verse. They're like, are you serious? Yeah. Read that verse for us. Susie, fourth grader, stands up here. Johnny, Read that. Read that for us. Why don't you sing for us? Why don't you, all of a sudden, inside, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, they travel on a mission team. Eighth grade, they come back, and they're like thinking of that mission field they went on. By the time they're senior, they're trying to contemplate college versus full-time missions, man. And maybe they go to college, and then they turn around and change. Because they see God's calling in their life, and it started with someone giving them a chance and them taking a risk at a very young age. I love this build ministers thing. This word is not scary. I've got an FCA leaders thing going on this week, and it's been hard to schedule because students are just about as busy as I've ever seen them. And I know when March happens and April happens, you're not going to see them May and June. It's just nuts. And I have wanted to invite not just our leaders, but other kids that can kind of orbit these leaders to see what could spill over into their heart, because there's discovery waiting to happen. And unless they have someone to say, this is what the other side looks like here, God's done something inside you. You just don't realize it. You don't need to go through the motions of what everybody else looks like in Avalon. And I'm dying to tell them, what does your gifting look like? I can't wait. What's it look like when God does something to you? God's love changes you. Look at this verse in 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. 1 Corinthians 12. There's different kinds of service to God. Together, you form the body of Christ, and each one of you is a necessary part. I want to show you two things up here that our church does. I'm going to touch on these very quickly, and hopefully you can hear me from back here. Okay. How many have seen these before? Right? All right. This would be a monument. This would be a tips and techniques. If all I did was say, stare at the target, this is how we do church, 101, 201, 301, 401. You're sitting there going, let me show you this one right here. Let's go to the next one. All right? This is a movement. It's the same photo, but it has little arrows. We are looking at those in the community to come and hear about Jesus. Okay? We want those in the community to come here and literally be a part of our congregation and a part of the crowd as they discover that God is real and that God has something for them. They may not understand all of it, but inside they're going, I don't necessarily understand. I may not even agree with all of it, but I like what I'm hearing. And I'm going to keep attending. And then we have this next arrow right here, which is very simple, and it's called congregation. As we start putting a congregation together, we start doing church for people that accept Jesus. They look at God and say, I want that. I still don't have all the answers, but I know one thing. I'm never going to be the same again. My life is different. And when Jesus invades their life, they're now moving into something way different. It's called a relationship with Him. They cannot sit around anymore. They literally have got to take this to the next level, and they become walking with God in their faith. I want to know more. I want a small group. This verse, I get it. In fact, I memorized it. And I'm interested in what God has for me, only to go to the very next level, which is called the core. This is strictly from Scripture. This is not man's theology. Remember, the visions and plans of men are many. But what? The purposes of God prevail. This is how God's purpose becomes a movement, not a monument. Someone sitting there that has Jesus invading their life, and they have had discipleship happen to them from someone else, and God's Word coming alive in their life, join the core ministry of Jesus and say, what is going on? Let's do this. And literally, they go from the core all the way back out to the community. Jesus hung out with thousands, ministered to hundreds, had the closest of 12, and he hung out with three really close, and he was God and had that going for him, okay? I'm just letting you know that this is biblical. And these people that hung out with Jesus in small numbers went out and changed the world. This is a movement. And the closer you get to Jesus, the ropes are coming off, baby, left and right. You're unhooking. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of the gospel. I read a story this week about a bear in the zoo in Switzerland. The place is called Bern, Switzerland. The Burn Bears are pretty famous there. And they brought in a specific bear one time that was put inside a pit. It was a 20 by 20 concrete pit. And some of these are postcard pictures of that area. And teenagers would go by on their way to school and throw rocks and fruit and whatever they had for their lunches. They'd bomb this bear. And it was horrifying. For years, this thing sat in this little 20 by 20. Until a group of tourists from Germany stopped by and saw this and had enough. And they got permission. They pulled this bear out, took it back to Germany, and set it in this huge preserve. A beautiful field. Lots of space. Free-flowing creeks coming through there. You may know where I'm going with this. They released that bear. And for years, that bear walked 20 by 20 by 20 by 20 by 20 by 20 with all of that property. My friends, if you sit here in Avalon and miss the flower season that's coming up, you don't leave this town. You don't leave this building. 20 by 20 by 20. This is all I know. This is all I've ever done. Just like that bear, you're incarcerated. And you're going to take shots, too. As long as you sit here, you're going to take shots. So that's the first step. I want to say yes to you, God. Without your love, what's the point? I'm paralyzed. I'm sitting in this 20 by 20 concrete cell. I want to be whole. I want to experience your love in a real way. And this morning, I want to say yes to you. The last one is this, and I go quickly with this. To build evangelists. It's a big one. But it's sharing your faith with others. Don't get caught up on the huge word if it sounds too churchy to you. Literally, just share your faith with others. That's what it's saying. Jesus prayed one day, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Simple prayer. It's a huge sermon for another day. But literally, he fed 5,000 plus people that day. He met their needs spiritually by teaching them and fed them physically with food. And you can do the same thing. Do you know there's 4,000 people in this town currently? And that number's about to change in the next couple months and then change again after Memorial Day. Close to 20,000 people will be roaming the streets. Right now at 4,000, do you know how many church services we could have here? I don't know. 15, 20, 25 church services? John, you'd be tired. Your fingers would be bleeding, basically, okay? But we would die at that opportunity. Minister after minister jumping up here. Hey, we can't do more than 3. I'm pooped. Preach the word. Can you imagine 4,000 people on their knees before God? 5,000 did in the Bible. 5,000 plus because they were following Jesus. So don't laugh at that number. Don't laugh at 15, 20, 25 services. Don't laugh that this building becomes the youth room because now we took over Bonds. Just kidding. But something that big, we'd have to figure it out. We'd have to do church on the Wrigley stage, down on the beach. People would be holding house churches all over the place. You're looking at me going, Hobbs, you're such a visionary. I'm just looking at Scripture. Jesus took 5,000 people one afternoon and fed them. Follow Jesus. Man, you never know when the ropes are going to come off. The type of building is a commitment to sharing my faith with others. You'll be my witnesses for me, Acts says, to the ends of the earth. 1 Peter 3, always be prepared to give an answer. Hobbs, everyone who asks you, give the reason of the hope that you have. Don't mess around. They need hope. Don't tease. They need hope. But do it with gentleness and respect, son. Do it with gentleness and respect. God doesn't visit these wood frame homes and these wood frame buildings and begin living in them. He's visiting these buildings. Certainly we ask him to come in here, but he lives in you. You're the temple of God. When you leave here, you take the Spirit of God with you. Amen? God's Spirit needs to be fruitful in us. Don't be confined to a church building or a corner. And I love the way that this building is built, where it's at in this corner, Beacon Street, to be a lighthouse in this community. Beautiful Singing Waters building. It's such a cool story. There's a cross there, and it's lit again, finally. As Enrique's got the light on that cross to remind people there's hope here. If you come, you'll find it. But I want to remind you guys, that light should be on in your heart. Let's have our worship team come up. I would never ask you to do the impossible. God would never ask you to do the impossible. We're talking about the possible. He only asks that you do the possible. Let Him do the impossible. When we trust Him, the ride He takes us on is absolutely incredible. And you may not be able to stomach the film Solo, Free Solo, but people are going to sit back and go, that person is off the chain. God is doing something. And you'll be a part of that. A movement, not a monument. Let's pray. God, thanks for today. Thanks for assembling this congregation. We know that You're first and foremost the one that we follow. Not a program. Not program-driven stuff. Not the visions and plans of men, but the heart of God. Your Spirit's leading us. It's creating ministers and evangelists, servants all over this town. It's happening. One heart at a time. Building this movement in Avalon. One heart at a time. Not another beautiful, empty, cold, spiritually dead building. Okay? God, that's not what You want. That's not where You're at. So members of this church, evaluate the relationship with You. I ask it today, that today be that day. They throw off the ropes and freely climb and step with Your Spirit, moving this church on this island to new heights. It's never reached before for Your kingdom. May our lives be different as a result of being here today. Listening to Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.